Open up your Bibles to John 15, okay? John 15. So this is going to be our last night studying in John for the moment. Been in it for about the last 6 weeks or so, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. And we've been studying Jesus's I am statements. So let's see if we can remember all of the I am statements. Anybody remember? Okay, I am the gate, the good shepherd, right? Okay. The way, the truth and the life, okay. The resurrection and the life. What did you say, Grant? The bread of life. Great. Okay, he stole yours. Light of the world. All right, and yes, the good shepherd and the gate, we said. Okay, that's good. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, somebody's keeping up with the papers or actually paying attention. That's good. So here is our last I am statement that we are going to study in John 15. Right off the bat, Jesus is talking and he is going to give us the I am statement at the very beginning. And you can write this on your student guide. He says, I am the what? True vine. And if you look down in verse 5, he kind of says it again. I am the vine, right? So Jesus is getting at this illustration Mr. Luke was talking about a little bit, that Jesus is the vine. Now, vines were very important in that cultural time and space. They had some of the most important fruit on them, right? Right, yes, yes. You can do missions and say, I'm doing it for the vine, for sure. Okay, definitely. Okay, so Jesus is going to give an illustration here. And so how many of you have a garden at your home? How many of you have a garden? How many of you guys have some kind of landscaping that you've done at your house before? Okay, at your house. Like, you've done landscaping, you've cut grass, laid out pine straw, planted flowers or vegetables or something like that, right? Okay. Okay, okay, cool. So we are going to look at an agricultural illustration. Now, this is what most of the people in that area were doing as their jobs. They were in some kind of farming, and so this was going to be a very common thing. Let's read through a few verses, and then we'll look at it real close. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father, who's that? God the Father, right? Okay. And my Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser is not a piece of furniture made out of vines, and it is not someone who goes and put clothes on vines, right? Okay. Now, what it is it is a name for a gardener who specializes in taking care of vines. So vines are typically in a vineyard, right? A vineyard where you would have grapes, which would be made or used to make what? Yeah, wine, right? Okay, they would also have other different fruit-bearing trees. Olive trees were very prosperous. Fig trees are very well known. And these were like common things that were used in everyday life. And so he's using this illustration. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Okay, so Jesus has been speaking the gospel to them, telling them about the kingdom of God. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into the passage in depth. Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for your word as it instructs us. And tonight, as we study, we ask that you will help us to be able to see something new about who you are. We ask that you would help us to learn to abide in you, that we would rest in you, that we would find our source of life in you. And God, ultimately, we desire to be able to bear fruit for your glory. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Okay. So, Cassidy or Grace, can one of you click my slides for me? Thank you. Okay, so tonight we're talking about Jesus is the true vine, right? He is the true vine. What we mean by that is obviously not the social network or anything like that. We're talking about this illustration. So the vine is like the base of the plant is what he's talking about. And Mr. Luke kind of touched on this idea of grafting. And I was looking at it this week and seeing how people do this. Basically, what they will do is they will take a plant that has a very healthy root base, and they will cut it off maybe like a foot above the ground. And they'll slice it and open it up, and then they'll put like the top part of another plant that bears the kind of fruit that they want it to bear. And they will put that into the vine, wrap the bottom part around it, and then wrap like rope or twine around this so that it all stays together. And what happens is this plant, as it abides together, it grows together so that you get the fruit from the top part of the plant and you get the rich, sustaining life from the roots. It's really cool. It's called grafting. And this is something that the Bible consistently uses to describe how Christians are grafted into God's plan of redemption, that God chose Israel as his people, that he has always had a plan for the nations, which is us, praise Jesus, right? That we get to be saved and we're not just left out because we weren't born into it, but instead that we are grafted in as a fruit-bearing tree. Now, he gives the illustration here about abiding. And this is our first point, if we can look at it, please. Okay, Jesus calls his followers to abide in him. Now, I'm guessing you didn't use this word this week in your vocabulary, did you? You weren't going around like, I abide at 302 Spears Street. You know, you probably didn't use that term. But to abide, it is similar to reside, okay? And reside is like the idea of your residence, okay? Where you live, where you call home. And so as we think through abiding in Christ, that idea has to be like, okay, I have to live in Christ. And this is what he's saying. If you abide in me and I abide in you, that Christ desires for us to consistently be living in a way that is completely sustained and determined by Christ. So, if he is the vine, right, he is that source, that root system that gives life, we have to stay attached to that. We have to look to that to actually provide for us. So, what does that actually look like, guys? Any ideas? What does it look like to abide in Christ? Okay, follow his words. Okay, so study your Bible. For what purpose? Okay. What else? Say it louder. Okay, because God calls us to do things for certain purposes, right? So as we study God's word, what are we doing? We're growing in understanding who he is. You're not going to understand who God is better by just living life however it takes you. You've got to be intentionally pursuing getting to know him. We do this with all kinds of other relationships, right? If we want to marry someone, we get to know them first. If we want to be great friends with someone, we have to first know what their name is and what they like to do and things like that. We abide, so we get ourselves close to that we want to grow into, right? There's a famous saying that says, if you want to know what you're going to look like in 5 years, take your 5 closest acquaintances, average them out, and that's what you'll look like. You want to know what you're going to look like? Take, not like your physical appearance, but like your sense of humor, your work ethic, your personality. You want to find out who you're likely to look like? Look at the people you're surrounding yourself with. Are you surrounding yourself with people that are working hard or athletes or academics or comedians, aspiring comedians, some of y'all, right? This is the thing. If you want to find out what you're going to be like, look at what is around you. Well, if we want to grow to be like Christ, what does that say for us? We've got to be around him, right? We've got to completely immerse ourselves in who Jesus is, which means worshiping him, studying his word, growing in praying to Christ so that we're getting to know who he is. Not just so, listen, some of you guys, I think, here's your idea of what Christianity is. Christianity is all about telling other people about God. And it's skipping a step there, that you've got to embrace it for yourself first. Mr. Rob and I talked about this a little bit earlier today. Whenever you go on an airplane, they do a safety protocol at the beginning, right? Anybody ever flown on an airplane before? Okay. So they tell you, if this airplane depressurizes, what's going to happen? Okay, so, yeah, the little mask is going to fall out of the ceiling, right? Now, if you're a parent, you've got a little kid sitting next to you, they're freaking out during this, your first reaction can be, take this and put it on the kid so they'll be okay, right? But what do they instruct you to do, actually? Right. You've got to put it on yourself first, because here's what's going to happen otherwise. You're going to take the air mask, you're going to go to try and help the kid, and you're going to pass out in the process of trying to help other people, because you have removed yourself from this thing that is meant to give you life, right? This is what it's like for us as Christians. Listen, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus that you are growing in, you're going to be useless in trying to produce fruit in others. Because what are you leading them to? You're leading them towards something that you have not done for yourself. Does that make sense? You cannot be I want to tell everybody about Jesus, but I'm not growing in knowing who Jesus is myself. Sunday night, our journey group created a timeline of who Jesus is, timeline of events. So we started in the beginning, because we know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him. And we know in John 1:14 it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of God, a.k.a. this is Jesus. Jesus is the one who is creating the world back in Genesis 1. So we started there, and then we worked through the Bible, figuring out what are all the things we know about Jesus. And you guys, it took us like, 30 pages, something like that, right? Okay, 22 pages so far. And at the end of the night, we were like, we still have a lot of stuff we haven't covered. We still have a lot of things we still have to map out. Because we weren't thinking of all the things. And as we grow in knowing who Jesus is, we have personal experiences to add into that list. Look at me, guys. Y'all are all doodling. I want you to look up here. Listen, you guys have knowledge of Jesus that is, I've heard this from church. I read this in the Bible once. You're abiding in Jesus is walking with him daily in your relationship. It's actually inviting him into every moment of your life as you're going. That you're taking time at the end of your day to like debrief with Jesus about what just happened in your day. What are your concerns? What are the things that you need him to lead you in? The things that you know about Jesus should include your own life. I know that Jesus has saved me from sin. I know that he has worked in my life to lead me to honor God. Like, you should be able to write those things in on the list too. So we've got to abide in Christ. This is very important. Can you hit our next slide? So this is a picture of a tree, and it has a couple of different things for what would be cut off if you were pruning a tree. Now, pruning a tree is not what often happens around here, from what I've seen. Around here, what they do is they see a tree that's grown, they want to cut it back, and they cut it at the thickest part that they can get the saw to go through and cut everything else off. And then what ends up happening is there's a stubby tree that's got crazy little like poofs on the end of it the next year from where it's trying to grow, okay? What you want to do on a fruit-bearing tree is you want to eliminate these few different things that are kind of highlighted. So one of the things it has is a dead, diseased branch. How many of you guys know those trees are like super white flowers in the spring? And then they have the like really red leaves in the fall. Okay, anybody know what those are called? Nope. Those are cool. Those are great trees. Okay, so it is a Bradford pear tree. Bradford pear trees are the worst thing in the world, okay? Let me just tell you this. Yeah, so they mess with your allergies. They look really pretty, which is the reason why everybody puts them up. The problem is Bradford pear trees, if they're not tended to carefully, here's what they do. They grow up to about this high, and then they split off into several branches. The branches do not grow together. They grow and get bigger and swell up and begin to push upon each other. And then when you get some kind of a windstorm or a hurricane or something like that, it comes through and rips like half the tree off. You guys know what I'm talking about? You've seen those where it's like, oh, this was a beautiful, nice, round, ovaly kind of tree, and now a storm came through and just ripped it open. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Those kinds of trees? Here's what has happened there, okay? One, Bradford pears are terrible about picking up diseases. They'll get a fungus and it'll kill off like a huge part of the tree because this one little tiny part of the tree got a fungus. The second thing is that they will grow in ways that are not helpful to the entire tree. And since people don't tend to go out and actually prune these trees and help them to grow. What ends up happening is it puts so much stress pushing against each other that then it fractures off when the wind comes along. And then there's this huge gaping hole down the side of the tree for all the moisture to get in and kill it, and for funguses to get in, for termites and stuff like that to get in. It's terrible for the tree. So, what's like the solution there? Okay, it's pruning. And this is what Jesus is getting at when he talks about the Father. The Father prunes that which does not bear fruit. So, dead and diseased things, broken, damaged branches, you cut those off. I was watching YouTube videos. You guys are probably not interested in it that much, but you can go and watch, and there's these, you know, English gentlemen that know all of the, you know, special kinds of gardening, and they'll just go on and on. They tell you all of the ways about exactly how to cut it and prune it, because they're cutting off part of the tree, which sounds like a bad thing, right? Like, he's killing the tree. But this is not just like Pastor Scott doesn't know what he's doing, go cuts part of a tree off, and now it might die, right? Like, that would be a bad thing. These guys are very skilled. They know what they're doing. And when they prune a tree, it actually leads to that tree being able to bear a lot more fruit. It leads to the tree having a much longer lifespan, much more fruitful life. And here is the image that Jesus is giving us of the Father. He says, so abide in him and you will produce fruit. This is our second point, right? Jesus calls his followers to bear fruit. And show that next picture for me. This is not what I'm talking about. Not that, okay? It's not bear fruit. To bear fruit means to grow the fruit, right? To bear fruit. So a branch that bears fruit holds the fruit, sustains the fruit, grows the fruit, and it is achieving the purpose for which that branch is part of the vine, part of the plant. Yes.
Why does that pineapple look so much like SpongeBob's?
Because that's every pineapple, right? It's like every pineapple looks like SpongeBob's house. Literally. Okay. So, here's the thing. So we abide in Christ. Listen, first point, we're called to abide in Christ. The second point is to bear much fruit. And this is what he's talking about here, and he continues on in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Okay, there's a little bit of scare you out of hell right there, okay? Because that's what he's talking about. Hell is a literal place. It's in the Bible, okay? We will use it correctly. But literally, Jesus is talking about if you don't abide in him, it's like being one of those broken branches. You're not going to bear fruit. You're actually, if you don't abide in Christ, okay, and what he's talking about here is people who pretend like they're believers but don't genuinely have their faith in Jesus Christ. They're not inviting him into their life. They're not living according to his word. They, like, Jesus is just a little add-on for them, not the thing they go to provide their life. And he says, look, if you're not going to abide in me, you're going to be cut off, you're going to wither and die and be thrown into the fire. Now, Miss Jane knows where my house is because she lives like two houses down from me. I have these bushes between me and my neighbor the other way on our road. And they have just grown enormous. And I'm about to cut them back because they're just these enormous bushes. I did this last year. I literally cut down tons of these branches, put them in a huge pile, and my thought was, I'll just take all of these up to the dump. What ended up happening, though, was I had this huge pile of stuff. I got busy. They all withered up and turned brown. And then I had a pile of huge brown branches there. And I have a nice burn barrel like 20 feet away from it. And man, do those things light up, right? Like, whoosh, they go up. That is the image. And guys, it is a terrifying image for us. First, applying it to ourselves. Like, look, if you do not abide in Christ, you will be separated from him forever, and you will spend that forever in a literal place called hell. Jesus talks about hell way more than he does about heaven, FYI. So, we need to, like, prepare ourselves and remind ourselves, I've got to live in a way that I am staying in Christ, and he is in me. But the second part is the bearing fruit, right? Bearing fruit. These branches are meant to branch off continually and to bear the fruit. If you have a grape vine that never produces grapes, what do you have? You have a problem, right? You have a problem. Like, that's a useless vine. Listen, if you are in the Middle East and you're trying to grow a plant, you're having to draw water up to sustain this vine. You're doing all of this work. They build trellises to, like, keep the sun from burning it too much, all kinds of stuff like that. If you are doing all of that and this vine isn't producing anything, what is the... Yeah, I mean, it's like, what is the point? Listen, we are called to abide in Christ and to bear fruit. And this is what he says about what that looks like. He says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. So God gets glory, he gets honor, he gets praise by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So if you want to know if someone's a genuine disciple of Jesus, what should you do? Look at the fruit. Jesus says elsewhere, a tree is known by its fruit. You call an apple tree because it bears apples. You call an orange tree because it bears. You call a pineapple tree because it, what? Yeah, they're not, it's not actually pineapple trees, FYI. They're like tiny little bushes. Yeah, okay. Just making sure you're paying attention. So, you know a tree by its fruit. And he reminds us here, if you want to know if somebody's a disciple, look at the fruit. Look at their life and see if they are glorifying God with that. And he says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Stay in it. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. And he says this in verse 12, this is my commandment. So if you want to know what the commandment of Jesus is, here it is in verse 12. Pay attention. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. This is our third point tonight. This is our third point. Jesus calls his followers to love one another. And he doesn't just say love one another like Valentine's Day we had last week, right? It's not a kissy-kissy, smoochy-smoochy kind of love. And y'all are all like, praise the Lord, because they got cooties, right? All right? Elsewhere, Paul talks about, like, greet each other with a holy kiss. That's not what he's talking about here, okay? That was a way of greeting. It was like a handshake kind of thing. Still is in a lot of the world where they greet each other with a kiss on each cheek or something like that. It's how people greet each other. That's not what he's talking about here. Here's what he's talking about. He says, love one another. How? How does he say to do this? Nope, Look at what he says in verse 12. Yes, he says, you love one another as I have loved you. And that next verse is the one where he's going to point toward his own death, actually. He says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So, this can seem in our culture like a, like, hey, if you don't do what I say, you're not my friends. Which, for us, is like a really corrupt thing, right? If somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, if you don't do what I tell you to, you're not my friend. Well, guess what? They're probably not a good friend. Here is the difference, though. Jesus says, no one has greater love than the one who lays down his life for his friends. And Jesus knows, I'm about to do that for you guys. Jesus is like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. This is what love is. Love is commitment to another that is self-sacrificing for the other person's benefit. Their real benefit. Not so that you can get something in return. Not so that you can feel good about yourself. Not so that they think that you're awesome and you get all kinds of recognition. And it's not doing something that seems to be good for that person, but actually isn't. Is sacrificing self for the genuine benefit of someone else. And Jesus says, no one can love someone better than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus knows, this is what I'm about to go do for the entire world. I'm about to go and die, which I don't deserve because I'm holy. I'm going to go and die so that all of the sins of the world can be forgiven. And his command is for us to love one another in a similar way. Here's what I want to challenge you to think about. How are you loving others, especially other believers? Like, it should start with the people around you in your local church. And it should expand out from there into your community, into the nation, into international missions. How are you loving others in a way that is self-sacrificing and for their genuine benefit? I bet that there's a very small way that we actually are doing this. Most of the time we're paying attention to what's in it for me, right? What am I going to get? Do I like that? Is that what I want? That's kind of our mindset. That's not the mindset of Christ. And so here is the thing. Here's your little mathematical equation at the bottom. It's not E equals MC squared, FYI. It's really easy. 1 + 2 = 3. All right. I can probably teach my 3-year-old to figure this out. 1 + 2 = 3. Now, I'm not giving you a random mathematical equation for nothing tonight. I'll tell you why. I want you to look at the outline. Look at point number one. What is point number one? Okay. So Jesus calls his followers to abide in him. This is the first thing. It has to be done. Without it, the second thing doesn't matter. It doesn't get to the third thing. The second thing without the first thing doesn't matter. What's the second thing there? Okay, bear fruit. So if you're trying to bear fruit and you're not abiding in Christ, you're not going to love one another. If you're abiding in Christ, but you're not bearing any kind of fruit, guess what? You're not going to love one another. Christ gives us everything that is like necessary for us to be able to be successful, to be able to follow his commands. He says, abide in me, bear fruit, and you will love one another. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to love him and to love one another. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about, is reorienting our heart to love God and to love our neighbor. I want you guys to look at this idea of, man, abiding in Christ, bearing fruit, equaling loving one another. And see, is there any breakdown of this in my life? Because I'll just tell you, like, I don't think anybody in this room is doing 100% amazing on this. Myself included, first in line. Every single one of us can grow in inviting Christ into our life and like living with him continually in every moment that we spend. Each one of us can work at bearing fruit, fruit that is glorifying to God, bringing people to knowledge of him, absolutely. Letting him transform our lives, absolutely. I mean, if you want to bear fruit, just live in a way. We used to have these really cheap bracelets. Everybody over 20 in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. They were little cloth bracelets with a tiny little plastic piece on it. And what did it have on it, adults? Yeah. WWJD. Yes. Okay, listen, if you want to bear fruit in your life, it means going through life consistently saying, what would Jesus do in this situation? If Jesus was here in this situation with my friend who's broken about something going on in her life, what would Jesus do here? If Jesus was hanging out with a bunch of guys and they were making really rude jokes, what would Jesus do there? And listen, you're not going to know what Jesus would do if you're never studying who Jesus is. If you're not starting your day going, hey, God, help me to act like you today. Help me to live according to your power in my life, not just me trying to look awesome. That bears fruit. That ends up, those guys that are joking, that girl that's hurting, you're not approaching that in a way that tries to make yourself look good. You're not going into that like, I've got all the answers. I can fix these guys. I can fix this girl that's hurting. No, you're going into that saying, God is sufficient. These people need Jesus to come in and give them hope, to give them purpose. I am possibly the conduit that God is going to use to bring that to them. And I'm going to point their eyes and their attention to who God is. But it's that question. Simple question, right? Write that at the bottom of your paper. Simple question. WWJD. Twenty-something years old, probably extremely relevant today. Ask yourself that question when you're at school, when you're on the way home tonight, when you're hanging out this weekend, when you're online with your friends, when you're texting, when you're posting on TikTok. I don't even know what y'all are doing on TikTok. What? Listen. Every one of those places is an opportunity for you to look at it and say, what would Jesus do here? And then, listen, once you are asking God, hey, help me to figure out what Jesus would do here, then you have the option to do it. Am I going to act like Christ would in this situation, or am I going to do my own thing? That's hard, guys. It's hard. and it's why you've got to be abiding in Christ first. Abide in Christ, bear fruit, love one another. I want our student ministry to be a place where we are doing those three things really well. That we are abiding in Christ, and that comes in with how we interact with each other, with the study we do, with the time of worship, with our time of prayer, that we are abiding in Christ, and not just here, in our normal everyday lives. Set up a Bible plan on your phone that will remind you. Get guys or girls that will text you and say, hey, you spend time praying this morning? Or, hey, this is something that I'm really struggling with. Pray for me to trust God in this situation. Do that for others. Lift them up. Abide in Christ. Bear fruit. Y'all should be inviting people to come and hear the gospel and experience the love for one another. And, like, I mean, are you okay with your friends just being the ones that are cut off and burned forever? No, obviously. Okay, so let's do something, right? Like, you can't force someone to get saved, but you can share the gospel with them. And you got to know the gospel before you'll share the gospel. It's got to be who you are. Abide in Christ. Bear fruit. Love one another. I want this to be, like, our mission, guys. This is what, like, we've been moving to for the last 2 months. Abide in Christ, bear fruit, love one another. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word again and for this heavy challenge to abide in you, to rely on you, to sustain us, to give us the life that we need. God, help us each to receive this and to be constantly reminded of how much we need you to sustain us every single day, and help us to do that before we try to bear fruit in changing the way we live or in inviting others. Like, help that to be the defining factor of our lives first, God. Help us to bear fruit so that we can glorify you with our lives. And Lord, help us to love one another, that we would extend mercy when someone has done us wrong, when someone's in need. Let us extend grace and giving to each other in ways that are meaningful and helpful. Help us to sacrifice for the genuine benefit of others, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we ask that you will lead us this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.